Hey everybody, welcome back to Over Sharon with Brandon and Sharon. What's up, Sharon?
What up?
What's going on? We decided to record again. This is going to be a quick impromptu episode. We're following up on the episode from last week, episode one, where we talked about the occult. We realized that there's a couple tangents we left open and some things we wanted to circle back on and some synchronicities that happened during the week. Sharon, why don't you bring us in with the synchronicities?
Sure. But first, can I ask you?
Oh, please do.
About the tree. You had mentioned that you were going to tell us more about the tree and something about the occult and what trees represent. So please do tell us.
So the tree, if you look at the tree behind me, you see all these, you can kind of see them. You see all the branches and everything that's sticking out that you could see. Now, what you don't see are all the roots that are in the ground. And people tell you that just as many branches and things that you see above the ground are what's underground for a tree. So that has a lot to do with what's hidden from your sight. And that's exactly what the occult's all about. So it's a way to symbolize the shadow and what's not seen. And it's a really good allegory, because if you think about your roots are where you came from. Your roots also hold you strong and firm. And when people meet you and see the exterior, they don't see the roots. They don't see where you came from. They just see you in the present moment right now, out in the world or whatever it is. So there's a lot of things that line up with that.
Very true. That's a really good point you make.
Thanks.
I like it. So back to the synchronicities during the week. So we had been asking during this episode last week about demon possession, about beings in the spiritual realm. And we were asking about who are the powers that be and things like that. And the funny part was, a friend had sent out a link to this group I'm in, and she said that, you know, this was a very, very encouraging video. And she sent out the link to a video called Beings of Blue Light by this channel. And I'll tell you the name of the channel. It's called John ST for Saint Julian with an E, Baba Wanyama. Yeah, it's a long one. It's kind of interesting, but I had to write it down and read that to you because I could not remember what it was. But this guy, John, who's the host for that YouTube channel, was talking about some very, very interesting things that I felt were answering the questions that I had brought up and the topics that Brandon and I had just been talking about. So it felt super synchronistic. So I ended up sending him to Brandon, and I just want to ask him, Brandon, did you get a chance to watch those?
Yeah, I did. I watched both the videos, and they're really synchronistic, because you were asking about, because you were talking about demons and light beings and if there's like extraterrestrials or whatever it is, if there's things that other than humans, other than human consciousness, that comes in and affects us or can possess us or help us and things like that. And he talked about blue beings, which were beings of light here to help him.
Yeah, that was so amazing. So I wanted to use that kind of as a background to jump into some of the topics we were talking about and maybe expand upon them a little bit. So one of the things he talked about that really struck me was that we're all like on a certain frequency at any time, and we can allegedly raise our frequency by doing things like meditation and yoga and practicing healing the inner wounds or the childhood wounds and things like that, which he mentioned. And he mentioned that he did you know, he did that in a certain way, right? By doing meditation and yoga, which I thought was interesting because there is no one way to go about healing inner wounds. Some people do activation. Some people do shamanic journeys. Some people do past life regression. So like lots of people do different things to look into, first of all, look into their childhood wounds and then address them. But this guy seemed to just through meditation, he was able to clear a lot of that and come to a place where after much of that, he was able to reach a place where these beings began to interact with him. And then he could see them. And that to me was just, it was just an amazing, amazing thing for him to explain, because the way he was talking about it is that I'm not quoting him, but like he's saying that we attract beings of the frequency that we are in. So when we raise our frequency, we clean all those wounds that we have from, you know, childhood and some adulthood ones as well. We come to a place of non-judgment of other people, of loving other people, regardless of where they're at in their life and in their journey. And because we are able to do that and we come to that place, these beings can begin to interact with us. So that made me think of obviously the opposite, which is, could it be that beings who are not for our highest good, let's just say it that way, that those are the beings that could potentially interact with us when we're in a low frequency, in like escapism or in a place where we're not addressing and we're seeking to escape from addressing those wounds. I thought that was super, super enlightening, you know, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended.
Ooh, good one. You've been hanging on me too long. Yeah, I think I like what you said there because it makes a lot of sense. And I've said this before. It's like this realm that we exist in is such a magical place. You could create what you want. You could do whatever you want really here. As far as, you know, if you want to be a millionaire or whatever, all these things you could pursue, or if you want to, whatever you want to look into. So I think as you pursue these things and look into them, you're going to be aided no matter what it is, if it's quote unquote for dark or light purposes. And if you don't want to participate, if you're somebody who, you know, if for whatever reason you just have a job and you're going to work and on the weekends you're just engaged in all this escapism and whatever you can, you're always on your phone and just not in the present moment, could it be that some being will come in and fill that evacuation? And
or at least
allow you, yeah, influence and allow you to do these things, kind of take over the driver's seat, like, you know, like an enabler. It's kind of like if you have an addiction and you have a friend that has the same addiction, so you hang out with them, it's that same thing, but they're just taking a space in your head so then they could go drive to the liquor store or, you know, call a bunch of women or whatever it is that is your escapism choice. But yeah, I think and as we align, like you said, as you start to clean up all these wounds, because when you said that, what popped into my mind was something I've heard where if you just imagine a white light and then there's all different kinds of filters that you can put over these lights, like different color filters, like gels or whatever, right? So you have like a red and green and a blue. And so when you see it, it looks distorted. And then as you can clean up these childhood traumas and wounds, the light starts to become more pure. And it also has to do with the way that you see the world, because you start to find out that all these things you went through, you weren't exactly a victim. You know, it wasn't a personal attack on you. It was because this person had these wounds from, you know, their parents, from their parents, and it goes back and it's the same thing. And we're just bumping into things. So as you could, as you begin to empathize with the way things are and depersonalize yourself from the situation and don't look at yourself as such a victim, you could look in the world at the world in a different way. And it works the same way. I feel it's the same thing. You're cleaning up, like you said, you're cleaning up your habits. You're cleaning up your act. You're cleaning up the mirror is another way to say it. You're polishing the mirror.
Yeah. And what you said about forgiveness and things like that, and seeing people for where they were at that moment instead of holding them accountable, and in the sense of you wanting to pass judgment on them for anything that happened in the past. That reminds me of another video I watched this week, which was an interesting story about a little girl that was abandoned by her alcoholic parents. And the little baby ended up crawling in the backyard, crawling to where the dogs lived, where there was a family of dogs. And the dogs pretty much raised her for several years. And when they found her, when people found her, she acted like a dog because she was literally a toddler when she was kind of abandoned. And when they found her, she was however many years old. Well, she was acting like a little dog, poor little baby girl. But they were able to help her and teach her language. And she got to a point where she was able to request to find her parents. And I believe it was the father that was available and was willing to come see her. And he brought one of her, like a half-sister that she had never met before. And the little girl, like, they had kind of tested her. And she, even though she was like a teenager or maybe a little older, like maybe in her early 20s, she had the abilities or the mental abilities of like a 7-year-old or something like that, or a 5-year-old. And so you can imagine with a childlike, innocent mind like that, she was able to meet her father and forgive him. And you know, toward the end of the video, you see them walking, the father and his two daughters, and the little girl, well, she's not a little girl anymore, but you know, she's in her 20s, whatever, holding the hand of her sister that she had never met before, and walking, you know, down the path with them both, and able to speak with them and talk to them, and just forgiving like a little child, you know. And it just, I go back to what you were saying about healing and healing those wounds and being able to forgive. And truly, when we go back to being a childlike, or with a childlike heart, we can do those things. And I've had to do some of those things myself recently with people that I need to forgive, you know, because I have to realize that everything happens for a reason. And though I am where I am today because of everything that's happened to me, and I'm happy for where I'm at today. I am content because I have found, the path. I found where I'm supposed to go. I don't know exactly everything, right? But I know that I'm on the path. And so I'm just thankful for all those things. But yeah.
Yeah, that's good. it's good to be a good place to be is to be thankful.
Yeah.
For those things. Definitely. And yeah, it goes to all that stuff, because as just like you saying in that video, and we could leave the links below, I'll put them to that video, or at least one of them with the blue beings. As you start to clean up your act, that's maybe when you start to interact with those beings. If that's your, I mean, I don't think it's for everybody, you know, so.
Right, right.
But if absolutely. That's your, if it's supposed to be, then I'm sure that's how you get there.
Right. And I'm not saying I will ever encounter those beings or won't, because like I personally, again, like I've said, I don't have that history of being or having that awareness of like feeling, you know, being, you know, like I feel like when I used to go to church, people would say like, do you feel the Holy Spirit is moving here with us? And I'd just be like, I really don't feel anything at all.
I feel your hand. Get off, Dan. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, you know that. And then there are people who say that they, and I don't discount it at all, right? But there are people who, for example, have had family members pass, and then they are in their home or whatever, and then maybe their little child who has those, because children, I think, can see those. They're not tainted yet, so they can see sometimes through those dimensions, and they can see those beings that potentially as adults we can't see. So I've heard stories like that, and I'm not, you know, discounting anybody's story, but I personally have never. So if it happens, it happens. If not, I'm not worried about it. But I just know that I'm definitely healing lots of, you know, wounds, and I'm going in that direction. So that video was really helpful to me.
Yeah. And if nothing else, it was a validation of the question you asked in last week's podcast about these beings.
Yeah. So another question I had was like, who are these beings, or like, where did they come from?
Who are these people?
Who, what, where? Who are
these beings? Yeah, right.
And so it makes me wonder, could it be? And of course, this is all speculation, but could it be that these are our ancestors, people who have gone before us, who have transcended or ascended into that place where they knew all these truths and they knew how to get there. And so they don't have to come back and try again for the next cycle, if that is indeed what we do, because I've come to the point where I think that's what happens. I think we come back and we try again. And so could it be that these beings are those who have transcended, those who have ascended, and now they come when we're getting close to that place, or when we got to that place where we've healed and we're open and ready to see those things, they come and surround us and begin to help us and give us more guidance. So I don't know. That's just something I've been speculating on.
Well, I could share what I believe on the matter, or I could say what I'm kind of came to, and it's, I'll take it like this. It's like the as above, so below principle. If you think about how people are led to knowledge and how they ascend here in the physical realm, and how they can clean up their act, like we're talking about, and how an addict can clean up their life and go on to bigger and better things. And if you're able to do that with the help of somebody else at some point, because you're willing, you know, nobody can make you do that. Obviously we've all been in those situations. We were talking about how, like, you can't woke read people. So you can't make somebody or help somebody. You can't lead a horse drink. You could lead it to water, but you can't make it drink. So in that same way, if a person is willing, and they're getting up to the top of the consciousness and people, well, wouldn't there be beings, if that's what the name of this game is, that we have to transcend? And what if we are all as a human race or whatever it is, some kind of part of some kind of consciousness that we are not aware of, and we're just the physical embodiment of it, and there's a spiritual embodiment of it, and then maybe even rocks and trees and everything are just lagging further behind us, and we're just kind of moving through this evolution, whatever it is, up. And then so these beings are just the next manifestation of that. So some of them are here to help us. And then just like as above, so below, you know, there's people that are, they're there to help you. There's also people who will engage in your brand of escapism that want to enable you, and that, you know, want to, for whatever reason it is, because they feel they were wrong, so they're going to take it out on everybody else. Maybe there's disincorporated beings that are just like that, and that are like, hey, this guy, you know, he doesn't appreciate his existence here in this realm. Let's take him for a ride. And it could all be part of the plan too, because I feel like you have to, in my case, and we could bring this back a little bit, because I think we touched on it last week, but I didn't finish talking about it. Was my one of the problems I overcame was severe intimacy issues, and I feel that I had to just keep having these experiences with women. And after a while, and I was talking about how like meditation and the use of certain substances kind of helped me see that it was just a futile effort. I'm like, what am I doing? I just kind of got sick and disgusted with my own behavior. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. But that's the only way that I was able to see it and get rid of it. So without engaging in all that other behavior that people would call questionable or bad, I would have never seen that the other side of it. So it could have been that some kind of wound that I experienced as a child, or maybe it was passed down to me or whatever, knocked it out of whack. And to get it back into balance, you know, it's like you hit a guardrail, and then you have to go hard right to get off of it. So you have to, like, you know, engage in that, whatever it was, because it's like how they say in physics, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So it's just like a pinball banging back. So sometimes you got to bang back a couple times before you get it right. Literally, in my case, Sharon.
Pun intended or no pun intended?
Yes. That's the humor part of the show, everybody. Thank you very much. But yeah, no, I think that's more how I like to view it. I mean, whether it's that exactly or not, you know, I think, who knows? But if you view it that way, again, you take the personal aspect. You know, I don't view everything so personally anymore. I'm not like, oh, the whole universe is out to get me. Like, I used to have a bad day and I'm like, oh, the whole universe is trying to get me. Now it's like, no, it's just how the way this shit is.
I feel like you had mentioned before also this concept of, could these beings be aspects of ourselves that are available when we're in the right frequency? And then the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about the blue beings of light, right?
Potentially, yeah.
Or whatever any forces.
Yeah, positive beings, positive forces. We interpret them as beings because maybe that's the only thing we can,
yeah,
you know, in our minds, label them.
Well, that also. Eat. I wanted. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
No, I know. I'm just picking on you. I know what you meant. And then I think this would be a good way to bring in what I know we want to talk about also, which is another side of this victimization of ourselves when, because we keep talking about these beings that are external to us, these blue beings, these beings of light, you know, then the demons and the evil beings and stuff. And I think that it's really important to talk about that the way to access any of this, if you want to say it that way, or if you want to say the way these beings can access or influence us, it's our choice. And I think that's where free will plays such a big choice. Thank you. Exactly. Free will. And it's that we get to choose through our actions, really, and how what we do with our day and our thoughts, we get to choose which these beings or whatever it is interact with us, and how, or, you know, basically which ones are going to interact with us and how they're going to influence and stuff us and stuff. sometimes we don't even really know how they're going to influence us. We just evacuate and then things spiral downwards. But I think it's important to talk about that because, you know, I don't want people out there saying that, this demon took me over. And like we were talking about before, you know, the devil made me do it, this concept of that, or, you know, I'm going to sit around and these angels are going to come to my aid. No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more like, you know, if think about whatever job you're in, or if like you're in sports and you see, you know, Rudy, this movie Rudy, where this little guy, he tries so hard and everybody wants him to, even the other team wants him to do good, right? So if you're this person who's out there and you're just giving it your all, and you really are looking to make yourself better, who wouldn't want to help you? And then if there are these other beings, of course they're going to want to help you, you know? But again, it's through your choices. It's not just because you're sitting around wishing and praying and hoping it's going to happen. You know, it's because you have the right state of mind, and through your actions, that's what you're focusing on.
Yeah. And something else that he mentioned, because he's not making any claims. And that's what I really like about this guy in this, I don't know if it's a podcast or whatever, his blog. But what I like about him is that he's very humble in that, and he's not, you know, trying to make claims, but he's saying that, you know, these beings, could it be they're beings of light? So are they rays of light? Are they photons of light? And as such, does that make them messengers of light? So we have all these words that we can use to describe them potentially. And so again, we're just seeing maybe what our minds can, you know, describe, you know, what our minds
allow us to perceive, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And I was right there with you. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Thank you. Yeah. So
we exist in this realm, and we don't really, we only see, you know, we see these physical objects around us. We don't know what's going on. I mean, there could be
other beings. See with these eyes.
Yeah.
You know, what we really need to try to do is see with this eye.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, because we really don't know what else is going on in the non-physical, if there is, could it be? And even if it's all bullcrap and there's nothing to it and there are no other beings, I mean, it's just a good way, a place to have your head, especially like you said, we're not making claims and it's not a hard belief. It's not this hardcore dogma you have that's how it is and you worship these beings and you praise and make sacrifice to them. No, it's more about really being on the path of Christ. You know, that's what it comes down to, or Buddha, or any of these, you know, Krishna or Muhammad, any of these prophets or holy people, they basically just tell you about the golden rule. And when you're on that path, and then, like, you know, we're talking about getting to know yourself, and that's the rabbit hole that you're going down, and you're attracting others that are like you around you. I feel, you know, that's really what the essence of it is at the end of
the
day. I kind of got lost there, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. So another thing that we were talking about that I wanted to maybe talk a little bit more about, but we never got a chance to, was this concept of becoming demon possessed because of a Ouija board or something to that effect. So my thoughts are, I'll tell you, first of all, I've never played with one. I have no idea how to even play, what the rules are, what you do, what you ask. Why are you making that face?
It's because I have a, right before I got into tarot and everything, another friend of mine, I was hanging out with two friends, and one of them had a Ouija board. And I was just, and they're going to do it at my place. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, I don't think it's a good idea. I'm like, I just don't. And this is before, like I said, I was more of a, I had a different viewpoint on the world, I guess you could say, but I was about to come out of it, but still with all that stuff. And I didn't really understand it. So I just didn't want to mess with that. Now it's kind of funny, 'cause like you said, you never had experience. now knowing what I know, I wouldn't have cared. I would have been like, yeah, let's open it up. It'd be hilarious. But I just, because I read up on it a little bit, and like you said, there's no good stories. There's no one that's like, hey, I had a Ouija board and then my life was great. At least with the tarot, there's people that it got better. You know, with the Ouija, it's just all these warnings and like this
right.
like, demon, you know, I'm like, ah.
Right. Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
If no one's ever had a positive outcome, cool. Like,
I mean, I'm sure they did, but we maybe, you know, of course that just
maybe
doesn't
maybe no one ever talks about yeah. those.
But it's no. like that. No one ever does that. Everyone does it just to be scared. Basically, you're doing it to like freak yourself out. Really, at the end of the day,
right? Like, it has this connotation yeah. of let's play it on Halloween night. Let's see if we can conjure up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can conjure up the dead, or you know what I'm saying? Sorry, I keep
yeah,
saying
maybe we should that. Get a Ouija board for Halloween.
not that I want to play it. I'm not saying that, but I'm just speculating because I brought it up last episode. Just because there is that connotation of don't play with these sorts of things because you're going to wind up demon possessed or you're going to wind up. So, but looking back at what this guy, John, was talking about in this video, wherever your frequency is, like if what frequency you're at, you're going to attract the beings of that frequency. So I'm not saying to play Ouija because I haven't had an opportunity and I don't know that I would want to, but I speculate that it's a tool just like anything else.
Yeah.
It's like, it could it be that it's like the tarot? Could it be that it's like a hammer, you know? A hammer can build a home or it can bash someone's head in or, you know, I know it sounds gross, but it, you know, you can choose how to use that tool. Yeah. Right. So yeah. Allegedly Ouija boards, I don't even know what their intent was. Was it made to scare people and to make them think that they're going to always be encountering the dead or spirits or evil spirits or bad spirits, right? Why do people do it? I don't know. I mean, I've never had a desire to play myself, so I don't know for what reasons people
I think it's just a divination tool. But again, yeah. It's just the way this everything in the modern, you know, normie. I was thinking about this normie and normal, like normies just want to get back to normal. I'm like, you know, in the normal society, quote unquote, what you get in the mainstream, just like with astrology, you get your sun sign, with tarot, you get like, oh, it's fortune telling, you know? So with, we get Milton Bradley or whoever makes it, you know, it's like, it's all about the shock and the awe, kind of scaring, I think. But also I think it's a way, 'cause most times it's just people, one person's like, you know, moving it and they're just screwing with everyone else is usually what it is.
Right.
So you get the one person, and it could even just be like a shadow aspect. It could be a person who normally you think would be like a good person. And they're just like, you know, I'm sick of being the good person. Let's fuck with people. You never know. 'Cause could it be, I might've had did that before. I don't know. Not on a Ouija board, but you know, you never know. The Loki, that's what people talk about. Loki and the trickster element in people that come out. You know, think about if you're this clean cut person and then you have these friends and you're like, oh, I'm going to screw with them because it's my one outlet, you know, who knows? So
could
it brings
be?
Out that inner demon in that person.
Yeah. Right.
Or it would allow in our other discussion, some other disembodied entity demon to come in and give messages to screw with you, you know? So that's why I wouldn't even take the, who knows what those messages. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never played. I don't know.
It would be fun, like a fun experiment, I think, to do, you know, especially on Halloween, like you said, maybe we should look into that for a future episode. That'd be hilarious. Do like a live Halloween, you know, Ouija board.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. They were never seen again.
You guys do it over where you live, and you invite some people over. I'm just kidding.
Let me know how it goes.
Let me know how it goes.
Thanks, Sharon. No, you guys do it. It's fine.
Yeah, you guys do it. Oh, okay. So speaking of which, I was wondering or speculating upon if you were to, say, do something like that, right? Or you were to know that you were going to be in a realm where there were lots of frequencies from different kinds of people. Could you protect yourself in some way? And I mean, again, I've never encountered any beings, whether good or bad, so yeah. I can't even say, but could it be that, like, okay, so I'm going to bring up Michelle again, because she had sent me some thoughts about how she kind of protects her aura or her being. And she said she does like a meditation about how she imagines her whole, like, her aura being like a golden egg, like a golden layer of protection for her. And this is kind of like her regular thing, like daily, that's her thing. I'm not speaking for her. I think that's what she was saying, if I remember.
Yeah, just paraphrasing.
I'm just paraphrasing. But she says that when she feels like she's going to encounter, you know, frequencies that are different, or wherever she's going to go, she doesn't really know. She says she does an added layer of protection where she imagines herself in like a suit of armor type of thing. And then this suit of armor, she can set it to whatever distance near her body, really close, or like a little bit further away, to just protect her from anything that is not for, like, that is not 100% for her highest good. And she repels those things and then only allows in anything that is 100% for her highest good. So I'm just speculating on, if you do go into a place where that, like, you decide, oh, somebody says, let's play with the Ouija board, and you're there and you're like, I guess you guys are playing, so I guess I'm here. And you can protect yourself with something like that. You know what I mean? I'm just speculating.
Yeah, I think that's really valid, because there's definitely something to it, because we just talked about how if you evacuate your cockpit, as author James Drew would say, and you allow yourself to, or you engage in escapism, and, you know, we talk about how, like, a demon might come in, whatever it is, that this is the total opposite of that. This is with intention, putting it out there in the world that, hey, I have a hedge of protection around me. That's what these say in the Christian faith, right? The hedge of protection, or I have this golden egg. I have this protection around me. Nothing is going to get in here. No. And it has to do with your belief. And it's like a technology of belief. Same thing that James True says. It really has to do with, because you're using your free will, and you're stating that intention, and you're putting it out there that, no, nothing's going to harm me. So, you know, I'm not saying it's 100% foolproof. I don't know, but I think it's the best protection you can do. And if something is able to get around that, then that's just more work you have to do in yourself to figure it out why, you know. But yeah, I think that that's really cool. And again, it's not like you're going to put this hedge of protection on and then you're going to go and go look for demons to slay. You know, right. What I mean? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you're going to be this invincible warrior and you could do whatever and you could go out and save people and heal and all this stuff. If people are willing, sure. And then you use this, so this way you can keep your stuff away from their stuff, you know, and as it interacts, that's kind of a way to do it. And again, it's a conscious thing you're putting out there, and you're saying, you're setting the intention, you're reminding yourself really at the end of the day that you're not going to get fallen through these traps. It's because there's so much negative self-talk in society, right? That's, I mean, geez, we deal with it. I deal with it. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for everybody, but you deal with it all the time. Even if when I get a new idea about something, then I'm just like, it's probably stupid or whatever. Just these things. And then I have to remember. And so this is another way to counteract that stuff. It's just like, I'm not going to get stuck in these downward spirals and these traps. I have this layer of protection around me because I know who I am at the end of the day. I'm a being of golden light, you know, whatever it is. I'm a child of Jesus, you know, I'm on the path of Christ. You know, I'm a devout Buddhist or whatever it is. I mean, whoever you want to follow and identify with, but that's pretty much in a nutshell, in an eggshell, what I believe is going on there.
Yeah. And it makes me think of the story, that guy, John, from the YouTube channel we were talking about, the story where he said he encountered a situation that was, I believe, influenced by, I guess I'm assuming that they were like bad shamans because of what happened to him, because they were doing some sort of witchcraft or something like that, that involved like child sacrifice or something like that, right? So he encountered it in a situation like that and was around a little boy who he rescued from that situation, I believe. And he ended up vomiting like terribly until he vomited blood. So he had to have like a healing performed on him, and like lots of people with good intentions to bring good intentions over him. And I just wonder to myself if he had done something prior to that. I mean, he didn't know, right? He didn't know he was going to encounter those things, but if there was an awareness for him to just do that periodically, where he was, you know, constantly putting himself through a meditation that protected him, mm-hmm. could he have avoided such a situation, or did that situation have to happen? Or was it an awareness for him to know, you know, to know that maybe he should do those sorts of things and put those levels of protection up so that they don't happen again? It just made me think of that story.
Yeah, I think that all those things are pretty much true, really, because if he was aware of it, maybe, you know, some people talk about, and he even talks about how you can affect your water. And he references a study that was done where if you sing to your water, if you talk and give positive affirmations to your water, it actually changes the cellular composition and stuff. You can look at it.
Absolutely, yes.
So maybe if he was aware of that and he was doing that every day and singing to his water and saying, this water is going to protect me from everything, then maybe it could have counteracted what was going on. And like you said, the way these guys put this intention in the world, who knows, you know, like they're involved in human sacrifice. So, well, allegedly, right? He was basically, what was going on, everybody. So the guy in the video was talking about how he's in a remote part of the world, and there was a tribe that had all been really drunk on this banana liquor all the time. And he had to like rescue some kids from there, allegedly. So if they're engaging in sacrifice, who knows what kind of like old world black magic they know about. So yeah, I mean, if you mess with them, can they make you sick and vomit and throw up blood? That's not like that far of a stretch, but I'm sure there are ways around it. And like you said, now he's conscious of it, and it could have been something within him that he had to go through, because all these theories about what we should eat, you know, people are like, you should be a vegan, you should eat only meat, you know, we could exist off of light, you should be a breatharian.
we need to talk about that one of these days.
Yeah, we should. So yeah. If you are, maybe because of his diet wasn't exactly clean, that's one way in that these witch doctors had, because they're like, oh, you're mad because we're a cannibal. Will you murder meat and eat it? Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like this thing that bounced back at him. So he threw it up. And again, it's not a judgment. I'm not saying, you know, but it could be that's how it kind of works, because again, he was at the end of the day throwing judgments at these people. And yeah, you shouldn't, you know, get hammered all day and like sacrifice kids and stuff, but it's like a microcosm. So he didn't die or experience any like life debilitating thing. He just got sick for a night and threw up blood, which is pretty terrible, but still it was like a minor thing. So it's kind of like maybe it was the universe saying, hey, before you point your fingers, why don't you see what else is going on? It could have been that, it could have been whatever. I'm just speculating here wildly. We're oversharing right now, wildly oversharing, you know.
Yeah, And then the whole frequency aspect too, because if these guys who are operating in that low frequency of, you know, being drunk all the time on banana liquor and sacrificing children or whatever they're doing, that's the low frequency. That's escapism, right? And maybe he didn't realize he was going to such a place, but he entered into that frequency. And he also talks about, which I'm glad I'm bringing it up because it reminded me of the topic, but he talks about those things about how if you don't set up your boundaries, you can fall prey to these things. So you have to, in order to raise your frequency, you have to be in a place where you put up boundaries so you're not interacting with people who are going to lower your frequency or people who are in the low frequency. So you have to set up boundaries to either not be around these people or, yeah, like separate yourself from those low frequencies, because those don't allow you to raise your own frequency. They kind of keep you down. So he said that he had to separate himself from some things that were happening, even though he wasn't doing them himself, but these children that he was trying to rescue or help, they ended up stealing from him and from the community. And so he had to put up the boundaries to separate himself from those sorts of encounters, those sorts of things. And even if it meant like separating himself from those children who were doing those things, because that was bringing a low frequency and bringing him down. So could it be that just being around those people that were drinking the banana liquor brought his frequency down so much that he ended up, you know, his own frequency was affected and his body reacted in that way by throwing up blood. Again, could he have prevented it by protecting himself? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But you know what I do know, because this kind of made me think of this, to say, going back to what Michelle does with the whole protection, that's a way you could protect yourself if you are in a situation where you have to be around people. Because just like the vibration, you know, we're talking about all these extreme examples, but in a regular, it doesn't have to be an extreme example. You could just be in a living situation or in a situation at work or in a situation where you just have to interact with somebody, whatever it is, and they are a lower we'll just say a lower vibration, a lower frequency, or just a different one than yours. They just have different, they look at the world differently. So you're having a little bit of a problem there. And so what you could do is, instead of getting pulled into their vortex of a downward spiral, you put this protection around you just to remind yourself. And then so when it comes up, you're like, oh yeah, I got this protection. I don't have to worry about that. And it's nothing about judgments or anything. You don't have to judge these people. You can actually even empathize with them. So,
yeah. So I kind of have maybe it's our final thought. I don't know. What do you think?
I think we're getting at that point. So yeah, what do you think? What do you got?
So I was wondering, you know, listening to all these things, where do our thoughts come from? Like, what? So,
good question.
Right. Because so you have, now I have not studied Carl Jung a lot. I know very little, but I know that there's like the ego, and I think he talks about like super ego and unconscious and subconscious. But to me, like when I was listening to John from Tanzania speaking, I feel like there's only two. There's either your low frequency speaking or your high frequency speaking. You know what I'm saying? Your low vibration or your higher self. So are there more, like, and the thoughts that we have, running around in our minds, whatever they are, wherever they are. Where did they come from? What are they?
Just a quick final thought. What's the meaning of life? No. I think what I could say first about all that is what comes to mind is the void. Like everything comes out of the void, like the concept of zero, of nothingness. Mm. And I used to have these thoughts way back, even when I was like 7 years old. I would be like, who am I? Like, what is this? Because I know I could like watch the television and I could see you can get that first person perspective. Like you get in video games too, you know, you get that perspective shooter. And I'm like, is that what's going on here? Like, am I real? Like, who am I? All these crazy questions I used to have. And it all goes back to that. It's like, and I've had other thoughts I've had on this, and I've kind of wanted to ponder and speculate. It's like, is everybody have the same consciousness that I do? Is it all, like we said, you know, before earlier with the light, do I have the same light, the same thing, but because of everything that's happened to me, that's happened to my parents and all my bloodline, all this stuff, it's just tainted in that way. So I look at the world the way that I do, but am I the same as, like, for example, you, do we have the same things going on in the back end? You know, and then if someone says, well, there's evil, corrupt people, and then you could say, well, are those people that way because of all these things that happened to them? And they look at the world like, well, I better get mine before I'm got. And, you know, they've just seen nothing but mayhem and death and terrible things. So that's all they could picture. So that's all that happens around them because that's all they can imagine. But is it that same consciousness inside? And if it is, then all the thoughts I would say come from the same place.
Mind equal blown.
Yeah. So that would be, is that God? Is that, you know, and then when you say there are two aspects or there are more, I think it just depends on what the way you're looking at it. Yeah. There could be two, like there's a light and a dark. You know, I think there's also like an observer and like there's a witness, you know, you say there's like a witness and then like I think the way they put it in the Bhagavad Gita is there's a field. And then there's the knower of the field. So you have all these things you do. And then there's this other person back there that sees everything that's going on. And then what's, you know, those are the two different aspects as well. But I think it, as far as the free will is concerned and your choices, the angel and the demon are really good representations that you see in like old cartoons and stuff. It's like you have these two aspects. And I think the best way for me to put what they are into words would be like you have your desires and you have your ways of pleasuring those desires, mostly sense desires. And then you have your intuition, I guess you could say, or that spark we were talking about, like that thing we all have inside us, right? That wants to do what's right for everybody. And then you have a party that wants to do what's right for just you. There you go. How about that? And they're in a conflict. And when I say to do what's right for everybody, I don't mean in like a hippy dippy communistic way. I mean, in a way where it's like the golden rule where you just treat everyone how you want to be treated. And we just all, you know, your concerns aren't at the top of the menu. You kind of going back to what the concerns of everyone are, but for big picture items, you know, I don't mean for like, again, like communist hippy dippy things. It's more about what makes the whole thing work better for everybody. And so it's not like a system of slavery, like we exist in now. Could it be? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And another kind of thought that came up while you were talking is that, for example, while you meditate or, you know, while anyone meditates, most methods of meditation that I've heard or seen, you know, tell you to let go of the thoughts of the mind. Now, clearly that's very difficult because things are always running through your mind, right? So again, you know, it's not like you judge yourself because the thoughts were passing through. You just, you allow them to pass by and you know, maybe imagine that you're putting them in a little suitcase and you're going to open them later, and, or whatever, let imagine them flying by like a cloud or whatever imagination you want to use. But, what I'm just kind of speculating out loud. What are the, because clearly there are thoughts that are okay, right? That while you're meditating, right? I think there's like thoughts that are not okay, and then there's thoughts that are okay during meditation, right? I think it's
from what I've found, it's more a practice of not identifying with your thoughts and knowing that you aren't those thoughts in that pattern or whatever it's calling you to do. That's not you. There's another witness that's back behind that, and you could let that go. And then when you're meditating, it's more about really just being in the present moment, in that just realizing the thoughts, whether they're labeled good or bad or whatever it is, you're just like, oh, that's just a thought. I can just let it go. Even if it keeps coming back, it's about kind of knowing that you're okay. And you're like, all right, you have to remind yourself, all right, I'm here. I set 10, 20 minutes aside, hour, whatever it is. I don't recommend that much, but you know, I set time aside to just devote time to myself because, you know, I love my body. I love myself. You know, I think we were talking earlier about, if you don't love your body might get sick in order to make you pay attention and love it.
When he said that in the video.
Well, that's what he says in the video. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, around minute 10 and like 40 seconds, he says something to the effect of, if you don't love yourself, your body will find something like a disease or something like that to basically wake you up and teach you to love yourself. It'll conjure up a sickness or something so that you can recognize that you need to love yourself. And I just thought that was like, oh, amazing. Awesome. Like, duh. It makes so much sense. It reminds me of what's going on today with people allegedly getting sick because, and I'm going to just keep it at that, because I see a lot of people stressing out over things and then they blame something for it. I got it. Basically, I got the thing.
I'll just say that I've seen that happen a lot throughout my life. A lot of people, because of stress, they come into some sort of disease. And
yes,
yeah, because if you, like you said, I really believe that if you don't give yourself that love, so that's why I was bringing it to that. You know, it's about that. And when you're meditating, you're showing your body that, you're showing yourself that, you're giving yourself that time. And then also, could it be, well, to bring it back and we'll close it out here, I guess, is you're showing these other beings, whatever they are in the universe or realm or whatever we exist in, you're like, hey, I'm here to sit here for 20 minutes for what? For personal gain? Are you going to make money? No, I'm just here because I want to make myself a better person. And that's why I'm doing this. You know, why are you helping people? Because I just want to make myself a better person. That's why I'm doing it. It's kind of like goes back to the old thing with the same church, you know. Are you donating money, like $100 bill, so everyone can see? Or are you like putting an envelope so no one can see it and hide it? It's like, what are you doing? It? What's your motivation? So if your motivations are pure and you're just doing that and you're sitting on the mat or whatever it is, things are going to come to your aid. Could it be? I mean, it's a better gamble. I'll put it that way. Like, as a poker player, the odds are in your favor doing it that way, you know? So I would recommend it. No guarantees, though. You know, no guarantees of blue beings, but you never know.
Right. And you might see, who knows, different colored beings, but allegedly the blue beings are a thing. Because he mentions other people.
I said you might see different colored beings. I'm like, be careful, sure. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, how dare you?
Yeah. That's awesome.
I don't know anything. And that's a good point, because he says, he basically is, he's not making claims either. And the thing that really brought him to the place where he recognized that where the actual blue beings started to appear for him is when he came to the conclusion that he knew nothing, And he lost that ego. He mentioned that in one of the videos I watched. But when he lost that ego, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know how to help people in the world. I don't know anything, basically. You're just surrendering yourself to source. Yeah,
that's a hard one.
Right?
Because you have all this knowledge, and it's just so, you know, it's like the Tao says, in the quest of knowledge, many things are gained. In the pursuit of the Tao, many things are taken away. You know, it's like you add these things, or it's maybe something like that. It's like, you know, in the quest of knowledge, many things are added on. And then you get proud of all this knowledge you have, and you like to flash it and show it, you know, and we do all these podcasts. But then this guy's like, I fucking know nothing, man. And you're like, fuck. You dick. No, I'm just
kidding. Ego.
Yeah, it's so true, though. It's yeah.
Bash the ego.
But again, the ego is just a tool. You don't have to bash it. It's just about letting go, right? Just letting go, yeah. And knowing you don't have to identify with the ego. There's a witness behind it. There's something else behind it. It's a tool. If someone gets in your face, you got the ego to bring it up and say, hey, back off. We're establishing this boundary. That's what the ego is for, really, you know, stuff like that. Or doing podcasts, or could it be, you know? But yeah, that's great.
You're awesome, just justifying though. It. I'm just kidding.
You be no, I won't say it. All right. I don't need proof that I all right, everybody. That was awesome. Now, is there anything else that we should talk about before we wrap this up? We're right about at an hour, so this is perfect.
I was thinking of something while you were talking, and then it just flew out of my head. So let me think.
But while you think, I'll say, hey, you guys, if you like us and you want to contact us, you can go to my website at morelawsmoreproblems.com for more. I also wrote a book that's my kitty. Yeah, my cat's giving a shout out to my book. It's at shadowworked.com, shadowworked.com.
I feel like you misspelled that.
Shadow. Dyslexia is a mark of a very intelligent. I really feel like left to right is just not right. All right, so we'll say that again. Shadow. Yeah, like if I picture it, I could see it, but right off the fly, yeah. I guess my brain just doesn't want to do it. worked.com.
We'll
and
put
get
it
my in, book because I'm smart. Where are my glasses?
We'll put it in the live chat or.
Yeah, yeah. You guys, listen, if you want, just email me. You know how to get a hold of us. It's not like I'm just buying time for
those people who are watching.
Yeah, thank you everybody for watching. I just want to say last week we did a premiere. We're going to do again this week. Hopefully things work out in the next hour. And it was amazing to be in the chat with, we had like up to 10 people at one point most of the time, and everyone was like goofing around and having fun and resonating with what we were saying. And it really makes me want to do this more, to connect with people. I mean, I'm going to do it anyway because it's my therapy, but it makes me want to do it more. I mean, you know, that's what we say. It's like we do it as if a million people are watching, but it's great that everybody that does. So thank you guys. Make sure you like, subscribe. If you have any questions, you want us to talk about something, comment below, because we totally will.
And remember, oversharing is caring.
That's right. And if he ain't oversharing,
you're not caring.
That's right. Bye.